Oh, Shalom, this is Billy Brim. Delighted again to hear your voices. I know you all are too. It just seems like we're one. And we want to welcome, of course, we have from Alberta and Ontario, Canada, and maybe other places I missed, several from Ontario, Brisbane, Australia, Belgium again, and from the United States. I mean, we have got a representative group praying and going before the throne this morning. We've got from one corner in the Northwest, Washington and Oregon, and going down all the way to Florida and Alabama, Mississippi, and then from Maine to California and all the central states. Oh, my goodness, we are representative when we go before the Lord today. I want to start off real quickly with something about Israel that maybe you noticed. This was a press release that I'm going to read you right now by our ambassador, Nikki Haley. And as I told you, when I was in Israel, everyone was so taken with her. They said that if she ran for prime minister, she would surely win. So this is a press release regarding something that happened this past week. UNESCO has voted to designate the old city of Hebron and the tomb of the patriarchs as part of Palestinian territory and a World Heritage Site, despite protests by the United States, Israel, and other countries. Quote, now this is Nikki's quote, "The UNESCO vote on Hebron is tragic on several levels. It represents an affront to history. It undermines the trust that is needed for the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, and it further discredits an already highly questionable United Nations agency. Today's vote does no one any good and causes much harm," said Ambassador Haley. Now, for some further information, in 2011, in compliance with statutory funding restrictions, the United States stopped funding UNESCO after it admitted the Palestinians as a member state. While the United States is still on the 58-member UNESCO Executive Board, it no longer has voting rights in the UNESCO General Conference. So that means that the United States did not vote on this silliness. The United States is currently evaluating the appropriate level of its continued engagement at UNESCO. Now, this vote, which I'm quoting to you right now, voted that Hebron and the Cave of the Patriarchs is Palestinian. Now, this, you talk about Bible and deeds and property rights. This is the place that Abraham purchased to bury his wife, Sarah. If you have my book, The Blood and the Glory, you know how we had a very interesting experience one time as they had closed it, and we were the first group to get to enter after they'd open it again. But I'm going to read to you right now from Genesis. We have to go by the Bible. And Genesis chapter 23, it says, "And Sarah was 127 years old, and she died at Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron. And Abraham went before the sons of Het and asked that he may buy the cave of Machpelah, which he said," Abraham said in verse 9, "is in the end of the field, for as much money as it is worth. He shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you." So there was some back and forth before Ephron and Abraham. Ephron said, "No, I'll give it to you." And Abraham said, no, "I'm going to buy it." In verse 13, he's spoken to Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, "I pray thee, hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead." And Ephron answered Abraham, and he said, "My lord, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver." And verse 16, Abraham hearkened unto Ephron and weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Het, 400 shekels of silver. And the field of Ephron, which is in Machpelah, which is before Mamre, the field, and the cave which is therein, and all the trees that are in the field and all the borders, were sold unto Abraham for a possession. Verse 19, "And Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field in Hebron." And now if we go on to chapter 25, and something very interesting about chapter 25 it begins with, Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Now, according to the history of the Jews, the oral history, this Keturah is the same as Hagar, and she became a believer in the one true God. So she bare him 6 sons, it is told us in the 25th chapter. But in verse 5 it says, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward into the east country. So the land of Israel, the promised land, and everything about it was given unto Isaac. Abraham sent away the sons of Keturah, and he sent them east. And that's why the Arabs are in the east unto this day. Of course, Ishmael too. And these are the days of the years of Abraham. He lived 73 score and 15 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age and full of years, and was gathered unto his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. Now, it turned out that this cave of Machpelah, and it is a cave where they were buried, Abraham and his wife Sarah, Isaac and his wife, Jacob and his wife are buried in this cave. When you go to the cave, you see over it a big edifice that was built by Herod, the same Herod that redid the temple. It's very old. And, of course, Abraham was there almost 4,000 years ago, and they have a written record, the Word of God, who it belongs to. Now it has been voted on by the United Nations that this does not belong to the Jews, and it belongs to the Palestinians. We are in the time that the Bible would call the judgment of the nations. And more, these nations are putting nails in their coffins, because they are going against the written Word of God. There are three properties that are specifically marked out as bought by Abraham, who's the first Jew, this one we just read, and Nablus, the place of the burial of Joseph, that's Nablus today, but Shechem of the Bible, and then, of course, David bought the field of Arunah, and there the temple was built. Every one of these today are highly contested by the world, and are said to be and thought to be in the minds of the United Nations and others, are thought to be the properties of the Palestinians. How against the Word of God? When you get right down to it, this is not a war against, this is not a war between the Jews and the Arabs. This is a direct confrontation of Satan against God. And of course, he's working through Islam and the Arab nations. And God wants those people to be free, of course. But we pray, especially pray, for the United States of America. You're praying for your leaders from Australia. You're praying from your leaders from Canada. And so we are going to, first of all, obey this admonition to do so. And how is our nations most blessed? They are most blessed if they honor the Word of God. I am so thankful, folks. I am so thankful for the current administration. I don't know how your beliefs are, but I have written a book, and oh my goodness, I'm going to talk about that book later. I wrote that book. Well, I'll get to the book later. I don't want to get sidetracked right now. Right now, we're going to lift up our nations. We're going to lift up our presidents, our prime ministers to Canada and Australia. And Belgium, I don't want to leave you out there. Of course, you're going to be praying there for the leaders in that European Union and then in Belgium. And we're going to pray. And I, in Belgium, I met some of those leaders of the European Union when I was in Israel, who are having prayer meetings at their ambassadors, not ambassadors, their representatives of their countries to their parliamentarians of the European Union. And they meet every Tuesday and pray. They said, we're a small number, but we pray. So prayer is going on there. But now we're going to obey God. It says in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Oh, holy heavenly Father, here we are. Here we are, Lord. I know that you're hearing us there. I know that we're praying here from earth, and we've got a right to, because we entered by the legal way, not the usurper, Satan, who entered by the wrong way. But we came by the way of the water birth. We came, Father, legally into this earth. And then, through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you raised from the dead, we are told in Ephesians that when you quickened him, you quickened us. When you raised him, you raised us. When you seated him, you seated us in him. And so we are seated here on earth in these various places. Look, Lord, look upon how many territories and states are represented here. Hear us, O Lord. We know this is your will. It is your will, dearest one, that we do have quiet and peaceable lives. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for giving us a United Nations ambassador who sees it like it is written. And I know that Nikki Haley only says and does what is okayed by her boss, the President of the United States. Oh, Lord, they are blessing Israel. That's the most important thing. I knew, because you caused me to know, that he would be elected president. But you also said that he'd have much opposition. And Lord, the opposition cries so loud and gets so much ink. But that ink cannot match the ink of the Bible. The Word of God that you've given, and you've caused each one of us on this call and millions of others to have copies of it that they can read. We're not like those early Christians, Lord, who when Paul wrote a letter, it had to be copied by written down by a scribe and copied. And people, it was sent around, the one letter sent around, but all men didn't hold it in their hands. I've got it in my lap right now. And you are the one who said who the land belongs to. You are the one who made Abraham stand up and say, nope, I want to pay for it. And you are the one who caused the deed to be held in our hands. I want to thank you and praise you for an administration who honors that. All the other things, Lord, that are getting all the press and all the clatter come from the enemy. And here we are. Every one of you, stretch your hand out toward Washington, D.C. In the name above every name, we are united and representative and therefore hold authority. You, prince of the power of the air and all your cohorts, in the name of Yahweh Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, cease and desist in your maneuvers. We disarrostanda you right now. We arrostele makahaya nandioshkedendivra in the name above all names. We bind you in your activities today. The blood of Jesus, we plead, over the White House, over the president, his family, the vice president, his family, the workers, the administration people, in the White House. And Father, we pray for an uprooting of those who are deviously leaking things. We pray they'll be fired. And in the name above all names, we lift up our senators and our representatives, Father. Oh, God, they need your wisdom, as does our administrative. They need your wisdom. They're just people. We're asking you again, United, to visit them if it takes it in the nighttime. Help them think thoughts and vote and speak, some of them even opposite what they think, what they believe. Father, we lift up the Justice Department. Not only the Supreme Court, but the federal judges, Lord. I'm asking you, and I'm asking my dear friends and brothers and sisters to unite to root out unfair judges, evil judges. Get rid of them. I'm asking you, Father, to get rid of them. Get rid of them on the national level, on the state level. Oh, Holy Father, how thankful we are for the freedoms that we have. We lift them up not only with prayer and supplication and intercession, but we lift them up with thanksgiving. I'm so thankful that my grandchildren get to live in a free country. And, oh, Lord, I'm asking you for the millennials. Their minds are being influenced, Lord. I'm asking you in the name above all names, I'm lifting them up, each one of us, lifting them up in our states, our various states and countries, lifting up this young generation that they will see the truth and they will see the light. We are asking you for an awakening to God. Holy Father, I know you've put this on my heart, and I thank you for every avenue that you give me to do it. I want to share with all of you something that has so blessed me. Brother Hagin said, Kenneth Hagin, that I work for, he said he always depended on God to lead him. But he said the leading that so blesses me is the unconscious leading of God. The leading that happens when I did something and then I found out later that it was indeed the will of God. And that is exactly what has happened with our meeting coming up in Delaware. You know that the Lord has told me that we are to have authority of the believers' conferences and that we are to get as close to Washington, D.C. as we can. So we're having that authority of the believer conference, and the pastors, Lewis, they called us when we said that we wanted to have it and in the area close to Washington, D.C., and they've graciously offered us their church. It's a wonderful church. A Seeds of Greatness Bible Church in Newcastle, Delaware. And we're going to be there August 18, Friday night, August 19, Saturday with 3 services, and August 20th with 2 Sunday morning services. And then August 20th at 7 p.m., we're going over to the Washington Mall, and we've secured a place by the Jefferson Memorial where we're going to be what we're calling, first of all, meeting on the Mall. But this church in Delaware, where we're going to be teaching authority of the believer and taking authority in that area. Now, I have a lady that works for me, Pat Carter. We have a lady that works for me, Pat Carter. Her sister lives in the Northeast and is a historian and works somehow in a, I'm not sure if it's a museum or what. But she sent me this information. I got it 2 days ago. And this is one of those things, it's like Brother Hagin, unconscious leading of God. So I'm going to just read you the email that Pat Carter sent me. On December 7, 1787, Delaware was the first colony to ratify the Constitution and thus adopted the claim of being the first state. Previously known as the three lower counties of Pennsylvania, the area had been part of the land grant given to William Penn. On June 15, 1776, the governing body declared independence from Pennsylvania and became the colony of Delaware. It was named after an early governor of Virginia, Lord Delaware. Now listen to this, folks. In 1739, George Whitefield preached for the Reverend George Ross, minister of the Anglican Parish Church, in what was at the time Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Of course, today it's Newcastle, Delaware, where our meeting will be. George Whitefield wrote in his journal, "On my arrival, I preached to about 2,000 people from a balcony." In the index of George Whitefield's journals, there are 6 references to Newcastle, Pennsylvania, which is now Newcastle, Delaware. "My sister located the church where he ministered," Pat wrote. "The building is still standing and in use after several fires and restorations. Established in 1689, it is the oldest continuously active Anglican, now Episcopal, congregation in the U.S. It is in downtown Newcastle, a couple of miles from Seeds of Greatness Church." I cannot tell you how this speaks to me. I'm going to, and you can watch it, I'll be teaching starting Monday for 2 weeks on Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's Believer's Voice of Victory television broadcast. It starts next Monday. I'm with Gloria. And when I prayed about what to do on that broadcast, the Lord said, "I want you to take up the awakening again and talk about it." So I did. We had talked about it some years earlier, just after the Lord had called us in 2008 to pray for an awakening. I'd done television with Gloria, but he called me to do it again. So I did. And he said, "Offer a book that you will write on this matter." Well, you know, you have to you film these things early. But I had a trip to Israel planned. So I had to write the book before I went to Israel, and I left for Israel I think it was May 23rd. I worked and I worked and I worked. Maybe if you were with me, you heard me talking about working to get this thing out. And I worked so hard that when I finished at the deadline, I mean squeaking the deadline, because it has to get printed so they can mail it out, and that their Australian offices can mail it out and their European offices. So I got that thing finished, went to Israel, kind of forgot about it in a way, and then July 1st, a pre-publication copy came into my hands, and I read the whole thing on that Saturday. Oh, did it speak to me? I said, "Oh, Lord." I knew that it was so timely, and I knew that it was God, and I knew that he wanted out right now. It was almost as if I hadn't written it. And then I preached on it the next day down at our church in Collinsville, Oklahoma, Glorious Church Fellowship. You can watch that. It's archived online. And I think I told in my blog how you can get it. I have a blog that you can read at billybrim.org. But then as I read it, and I mean the great awakening, there was a Harvard professor who said, "You cannot understand the colonial society that brought forth the Declaration of Independence without understanding the great awakening. We were born out of the great awakening." And then, like the second verse of the Star Spangled Banner says, "The Lord has made and preserved us a nation." He preserved us through awakenings. And I wrote about all these awakenings. I even wrote about the awakening. This starts the book out. After I say in the book that how I knew that he was going to be the president, then I talk about the awakening that would definitely have affected his mother, Mary McLeod. The awakening on Lewis Island in Scotland. Oh, my goodness. Then I went into the Great Awakening, and I almost lost myself in George Whitefield. because he was the man that God gave the mandate. An Englishman. He came to America 13 times. I mean, he crossed the ocean 13 times. He died here in America. He rode up and down the eastern seaboard. He canoed. He rode in wind and weather and rain and punished his body because God gave him this mandate to unite the 13 colonies as one nation under God. He did it. He died just after the Boston Massacre. He was the best known man in all those 13 colonies. And he preached unity and new birth in such a way that when he did die, it was one nation under God. Now, one writer said, it's amazing that what united the colonies was not a politician, but a preacher. I literally tell you, he's like I know him, like I've connected to him somehow. And the great cloud of witnesses that were the patriots of our country and were the leaders of the awakenings. And so I do want you, I just have to get this book out. We publish it ourselves, so we don't have a publisher, you know, that's promoting it out in bookstores and every place. I'm going to ask you to help me pray about that and to pray about our Delaware conference. I'm going to see that when I'm in Delaware, I get over to that church where George Whitfield ministered. And if I can, I'll like to take a group with me and pray there. Just because I know the importance of this message in this book right now. Heavenly Father, I've asked my friends and my brothers and sisters to help me pray right now. Lord, you know we've been praying about this at our ministry. It'll have to have the touch of God upon it to get this book out where you want it and into the hands of the people that you want it to go to. Counting on you to help us, Lord. Not only help us to do it, but help us hear you tell us how to do it. I pray, dear Lord, for our meetings that are coming up, and I pray for the Christians United for Israel Washington Summit. Washington, D.C. Summit. Folks, next Sunday, I'm going to be a part of the Daughters for Zion Prayer Conference, which kicks off the Christians United for Israel Summit. The summit is actually Monday and Tuesday, but Sunday before, we're having an all-day prayer conference. And Lynn Hammond is the she's the head of Daughters for Zion under the Hagees. And so she'll be hosting it along with Diane Hagee. And teaching throughout the day on Sunday, we'll have a session from 10 to 12, and we'll have a session from 1:30 to 3 that's teaching. And I'll be sometime in there. And I think I'm going to be teaching on the in-gathering and praying about the in-gathering of Israel and the scattering and the in-gathering. I'm not really sure yet. And then at that night, 7:30 to 8, we'll have the Daughters for Zion praise and worship service and prayer in the ballroom. We really get into prayer there. And Cheryl Morrison will be teaching, and Pastor Lynn Hammond as well. Now, then Monday and Tuesday, we're going to have our night to honor Israel Monday. And there is a way you can register. If you folks who live in Maryland and Virginia and maybe you're working around that area, that Pennsylvania, Delaware, there is a way that you can register to come only to the Night to Honor Israel. So go on CUFI.org, Christians United for Israel, and see how to register. Maybe you can come to the whole thing. It's not too late to register. As far as our meeting that's in Delaware, if you do register for that meeting online, it helps us know you're coming. It's not necessary to register, but we just want everyone to come. But we do, and it's not even necessary to register for the meeting on the mall. But if you can register, we'll send you a packet. It's $30, and we will get a T-shirt and a coupon for a free book. Now, as to getting the book for yourselves, you can call 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And there you can get the book. The book is named. I forgot to tell you the name. First of All, .. and the Awakenings. That's First of All, .. and the Awakenings. You can just say Billy Brim's new book. And the price is $12 plus shipping. So I want you to have it. And if you register to come to our First of All on the Mall, you'll get a T-shirt. I like these T-shirts. It has the scripture on the back, 1 Timothy 2:1. And on the front, it has about our First of All campaign. So I just want to thank you from 43 states that I know of today that joined in. How blessed is that? And I could have missed a couple of states. So I wanted to be sure to thank West Virginia for coming. I sometimes I miss you. And Cody, Wyoming, you know, my grandfather Cody, who is a step-grandfather, was related to Buffalo Bill, for whom you're named. So that blessed me when you signed on. And I want to just thank every single one of you. May you have a blessed, blessed day in the service of the Lord. Years ago, we had our meeting, our Secrets of Intercession meeting in California, 1983. We were coming back through the airport in, we'd never had a big meeting. Our office was our upstairs bedroom. And my husband had the offerings in a suitcase. And he was nervous as we were in the Dallas airport making a transfer. But dear Brother Halverson, that great man of prayer, and if you don't have our Secrets of Intercession recordings of that meeting, you need them. You can also get that by calling 1-800-972-3447. It's the old timers. The Lord told me to get the seasoned prayers together and have them pray. Oh, my goodness. We have those, and you can get them. Call 1-800-972-3447. But we were in the airport. My husband was nervous. And Brother Halverson, who's the man that prayed on the highest level of any person I've ever known, in his little Norwegian voice, said to my husband, it calmed him down immediately. He said, "Isn't it good to go about in the service of the Lord?" And ever since then, I've had the knowledge that that's what each one of us does. We go about in the service of the Lord. As you called in today, you're going about in the service of the Lord. What my part is, I go about in the service of the Lord. I just think it, in a way, we're just all on equal ground here. And as you, I pray for all these folks, Lord, who called in today, as they go about in the service of the Lord today, that they'll be so conscious of your presence with them. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, in the name above all names, for your great plan of redemption and for the Lord Jesus Christ who consummated it. And thank you that you are an ever-present help. You never leave us nor forsake us. We love and adore you. In the name above all names, amen and amen.